Hi, and welcome to episode 68, recorded on October 14th, 2012. This week's special guest is Tara Strong. eWebs would like to thank Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials. VoiceOverEssentials.com. Harlan is the exclusive supplier of portable booths for TED. And John Florian of VoiceOver Extra, the daily resource for voiceover success.
He's the voiceover studio engineer of the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad with a knowledge of recording studios unmatched in his field. He's a voice actor from Buffalo, New York, with 30 years experience in recording studios and behind the mic. He solves people's home voiceover studio problems in the blink of an eye. Together, there's no studio problem they can't solve, and they'll do it for you tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. Now, live from a basement in Buffalo and an office in L.A., here are Dan Leonard and George Whittam.
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to cue Dave right there.
Hello, it's Dave in the desert.
And it's George at the beach.
And together, it's...
East West Audio Body Shop.
Audio Body Shop.
Yeah. Would you believe we didn't rehearse that? Could we make that more obvious? No. We dealt with the important things. I mean... I told Dave, whatever happens on eWebs stays on eWebs. So
it's kind of like Vegas.
A little like Vegas, yeah. So Dave was I have to thank you very much for wanting to jump on the show with us today. You just literally like landed like hours ago, right? Like 12 hours ago.
First of all, I'm honored to be on the show, believe me. And secondly, I got in yesterday from a week's vacation in the Midwest, and so I'm kind of getting reoriented. I'm okay. I'm good.
Excellent, excellent. Now, where did you go in the Midwest? Family?
You know, the family farm where I grew up in central Illinois now belongs to me and my two sisters. And so we meet there once a year and we, you know, just enjoy each other's company. Our spouses are along. And in this case, we added on a garage to the house and a back deck. And, you know, we did a little fishing, just laid around, ate too much, just downtime.
Oh, that's great, man. I can totally identify with that because my family had a farm as well. And we had two directions we could have gone. We could have bought the farm and shared it like that, or you know, or sell it. In which case, there was nobody that could really take on caretaking it, so we had to let it go. So, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, I'm lucky. My sister lives close by, and she has, God bless her, she's managed the farm and the finances, and you know, we pay her for that. But
she's been
great. Yeah,
fantastic, man. Well, I'm glad you made it back safely.
I wished I could have been at FAFCON because that was the conflict that I had with this vacation, and I chose the vacation. But, boy, I know we're going to be talking about FAFCON tonight. I know there's a lot of people that went, probably 100 or more, and they're all probably just walking 2 feet off the ground right now, George, because I've been to a few of those, and I know that it just leaves you with this sense of euphoria after being there for a weekend.
It's so true. I really enjoyed the last one I went to in Ventura. And I know you were there for that as well.
So you're there, yep.
And that was an important one for me because I met Graham Spicer, who's now a very important person in my life because he's helping me reshape my company. And that's that was a connection I would not have thought of making in a million years, and that made it all worthwhile. You know, absolutely. That one connection was what it was all about for me.
Well, you know, they always talk about the golden nuggets that you get there, and you do get plenty of those, but it's also the networking, and you can make criticisms about spending all your time marketing to your peers, but in fact, it does pay off. I think we're both living proof of that. So the networking of FAFCON is just irreplaceable.
It's a very, very strong part of that event, for sure.
Yep.
And it's still a very reasonably priced event, and it's certainly very exclusive. That is for sure. Mm-hmm. 100. I think it's literally a 100 name list, and if you're not on that list, you're not in there.
And they open up the doors to the registration, and it's like within hours, it's full. So it has gotten a great reputation.
It really has. The next one is coming up in a year, and we'll have a little package later from that I slapped together from video clips that Dan emailed me. And so you guys will get to see that a little bit.
And I think
later.
The next one, I think the word's already out. It's going to be in San Antonio, and I think there's only going to be one next year. So
yeah, they're cutting back to one a year. And I think for relatively obvious reasons. I think it's a heck of a lot of work for them. And it's absolutely not a money-making proposition.
No.
So I totally get it. I totally get it.
Pam, yeah, and God bless Amy. She is the, you know, she's the real force behind it. She's the founder. She's the one who makes it happen. She's found a second career, I think, as an event organizer, and she does it so well. And she's got a great group of associates that help her. And but you're right. Twice a year is a big order. A lot of work.
Absolutely. That is a huge amount of work. Huge amount of work. Well, we've got a little bit of show and tell, I think, to start off the show.
Right.
What do you think? Do you want to start?
Sure, I'll start. Well, you know, everybody is familiar with the MicPort Pro. It is the seminal gizmo that turns your XLR mic into a USB mic. And it also has the phone rheostat on it, a little dial that lets you turn up the phone and the mic. And it's got the phantom power at the end.
Dave, how are you panning the camera? The camera is literally following. It's panning after.
Yeah, it's got that. Sometimes it works against me, but.
That was pretty true. No, it panned down diagonally and followed your hand. That's amazing.
Cool.
Sorry, go ahead.
I've got it set for that, but sometimes it doesn't work in my favor. But anyway, you know, everybody knows the MicPort. What do these things sell for now, George?
$150 still.
$150 since they came out.
The
other day, I was at Fry's Electronics. If you have a Fry's Electronics store in your home city, you know that place is deadly for me. I walk in there, I can't not spend something. But I found this thing.
Dangerous.
It's the Shure X2U. This, you know, it goes and comes with a little display box right there.
Yep.
So here's the X2U. Looks a lot like, in fact, let me just put them side by side here. It looks a lot like the MicPort Pro, almost exactly the same dimensions. It's
similar,
a little bit longer.
Similar form factor.
It's got the mic gain switch, a volume switch, I guess is for the headphones, a monitor that lets you, monitors
the
mic input. There's the phantom output, headphone jack, and of course, USB on one end and XLR on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also got, I don't know if you can see, but it's got little ports here on the underside where you can give, and they include these in the package. They're little Velcro straps that you can wrap it around something to, you know, facilitate the holding of the MicPort Pro. I don't know why they think that's important, but $100. And I have not tried it. I'm going to write a blog about it probably this week and let you hear a sample. But
cool.
I can tell you
that the strap, that little strap thing is handy, actually. If you're ringing it up on a mic stand.
You get a little leather pouch and you get the straps, but it doesn't come with a stand.
Right, right. If you're using a stand-up mic stand, rather than plugging it into the mic, just strap it. You can strap it to the stand and have the controls right in front of you. And actually, it's very useful.
Makes sense. And it's got the little pad for that, so you can strap it right to the mic stand, I guess.
You know, it never hurts to be one of the, not to be the first to the market. You know, just like the iPhone,
they weren't
the first out the gate, but when they did come out, they did it the best. And it's not a bad idea for companies like Shure, big companies, to wait until somebody else tries it, and then they come out and I'd say darn near perfect it.
I have not seen this. George, has this been out for a while, the Shure?
It has. Actually, it's been out for a little while now.
Okay. Well,
I'm a big fan.
New to me. And it's well designed and manufactured. It's got, you know, it seems to be a you know, well done product. So
yeah, we'll look forward to that review, man. Absolutely.
Give it a try.
I've stumbled on another flavor of these things because they're definitely getting popular. This is the Heil, the of Bob Heil fame, the guy that invented the talk box from the Frampton days. That thing. Yeah, Bob Heil invented that, but he's now making microphones, and he makes some really nice dynamic mics. But he came out with his own flavor of this device, and I think it's a really nice design, and I think he had a really great idea in including something that nobody else does, and that's tone controls. This thing actually has a treble at about 10K, I think it is, and a bass control at 80 hertz. So it's like having a built-in variable low pass filter. It's a shelf, so you can bass boost or bass cut depending on what you need right on the device. Really clever. It does have zero latency monitoring, and it has pretty much everything that you would really want for something like this. But you know, the proof is always in the pudding, so let's see how this thing sounds. I think I have some audio here for you guys. And tell me, let's take a listen in. Hang on a second here.
Okay.
Is there really room in the market for another USB audio interface? Well, Bob Heil created the USB-Q. And what sets it apart from the rest of the market? It has EQ. So let's see what happens when we adjust these tone controls. So I'll turn up the low EQ knob. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then turn it all the way down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Turn it all the way up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Same with the treble. All the way up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All the way down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And all the way up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Not a heck of a lot of gain. I have the gain cranked wide open, hooked to an AT. Audio Technica 20. This is AT3035. Not the hottest mic on the market, but again, it is a pretty sensitive condenser. And, you know, I'm only just peaking at minus 12 with a pretty good, pretty loud voice that I'm speaking with right now. This, I would say, this is louder than normal conversation volume. Okay, so now just as a control, I'm recording into the Scarlett 2i2. And I'm not even close to full gain. I'm probably... it looks like I'm about 1/130, so I'm about maybe 2/3 of the way up on the gain here, and I'm already getting a slightly hotter signal than I was with the USB key.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. That goes for a while. So, sorry about that. Can you hear me okay, Dave?
Oh, yeah, cool. I got you.
I had to really mess around with my mixer to get a feed of that playback to Dave without him hearing it echo. And
Anyway, that was a
juggle. But anyway, I'll post that in the show notes. You guys don't need to be bored by my slow-paced voice for the next 3 minutes as I mumble through that. But I will post it in the show notes. It's on SoundCloud, and you'll get to – you can't really hear the difference in sound quality between them here, but you will on SoundCloud, I think, in headphones. I ended up getting quite a bit of noise on this, and I'm hoping that it was just a design – not a design flaw, but I'm hoping it was maybe just a – this maybe a slightly subpar unit. Maybe it was a bum unit. I don't know. But I had high hopes for it because it's only like $80.
And yeah, like I said, the Shure is 100, and I'm gonna post some comparative voice files on my blog probably this week sometime.
Yeah.
You know, how can you fail with something like that? Like you said, if it's the second product or even the third product to the market, you benefit from everybody else's mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. There's the very first out of the gate was the MXL Mic Mate, which Dave and I both have. Very simple. Yeah, there it is. Very simple. No phantom power switch because it was always on. It always puts out phantom power. Yep. And I think it has a three-position gain switch, maybe.
That's it.
And that's it. It's real simple.
High, medium, and low. Yeah. And it's got the headphone jack, too, I think, right there.
Mm-hmm. And it's not bad. I mean, it does what it's designed to do. It's not the quietest thing in the world, but for $40 or $50, it really works. Going up the price chain, you got the Blue Icicle, which is a similar design, very simple, no headphone monitoring or anything, but now you've got a gain control, and that's got a really clean audio signal sound out of it. But then you get to the Shure X2U and the MicPort Pro, where you've got just more control, you've got full control over gain, you got a headphone jack, and so they just keep getting better and better. You know,
it's a preamp and a tube is what it is.
Yeah, and then at the end of the show, I'm going to talk about a unit that came out recently that's made to go into your iPad and your iPhone, so... you know, there's just the hits keep coming, you know, more and more cool stuff's coming out all the time. What's going on in the chat room? I just said, oh yeah, there's a chat room. Yeah. Our chat room is always going. It's always buzzing. And, I love the subculture of our chat room. What's going on? Actually, there is a question from Diane Merritt. Question for Dave. How do you like what you got at Voice 2012 with the air pedal thing?
I actually got it right here. Hold on. I answered her in the chat room. It's the
I got one here too.
Hands-free page turner. Got this, the little dual pedal, front and back pedal, and a little Wi-Fi. What do you call it?
Bluetooth.
Amplifier. Yeah, it sends a Wi-Fi signal.
Mm-hmm.
Your iPad picks it up. Comes with two pedals, one for forward, one for reverse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by AirTurn, and of course, it only works with certain apps. But their app list is growing and growing. I bought this at Voice 2012. And I'm ashamed to say I have yet to use it. It's been sitting on the shelf here.
I know how that goes, man. I've
honestly,
got stuff sitting all around me.
Yeah, it's really made for people who are musicians. You know, they've got both their hands involved in their guitar, their piccolo or whatever, and they need something to turn the pages. This is perfect for that. But I could see where it could be adapted to a voice actor, too, if you don't want to, you know, use your hands to turn your page. You get your hands involved in something else. So one of these days, I'll get it out and actually try it.
Right on. That sounds great. I have one here, too. I bought it for a client. I'm going to install it in his studio this week. So I'll let you know how that goes. And they didn't ship them to us. We just saw them at NAMM, or we saw them at Voice and
yep.
saw how cool these things are. And, yeah, sometimes these gadgets end up sitting on the shelf for a little while we make the time in our lives to actually put them into play, you know?
Yep. But things do get put on the back burner sometimes.
That's one thing I love about what I do for a living. I get to play around with other people's money and do all the shopping, and it's a pretty fun part of what I do for a living.
It is great. How much of that stuff do you get as gratis, George? Do you get quite a few things just because they know your reputation for audio engineering?
Oh, geez. Can I think of anything? Not really.
Really?
I guess I've not put myself out there that far yet. Or
okay.
I have a pretty good relationship with BSW, the dealer. And so right. they have sent me things on net, you know, where I've been able to return them with the understanding that I would return them, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, obviously very nice.
Sure.
In fact, the console I had for the first six episodes of our show was on loan from them. Unofficially on loan, you know.
And Bo Weaver gives you all kinds of stuff, right?
He does, man. Actually, the Scarlett 2i2 interface that we're literally broadcasting the show through right now is something that Bo gave me. And I have other stuff that Bo's giving me. I have an Echo 2. It's like their new audio interface. It's sitting in a box over here that I haven't even played with yet. And I have what else do I have? I have this microbook. It's called the Microbook 2 from Motu. And it's a really cool device. I love the shape of it, the size of it, the form factor of it. It's super cool. The one thing that drives me nuts about a lot of these interfaces, and we'll go to the break after this, but is they need proprietary drivers and proprietary control panels and all these things to function. And if the software or the driver gets hinky, is that the word?
Hinky.
If they get hinky, this thing then becomes useless or becomes really unreliable.
Yeah.
And that's why I love things that are that the real simplicity of like the Focusrite 2i2 or that thing you've got, the X2U. It's pretty much plug and play. There may be a driver on Windows, but it's a very simple driver. On Mac, there's plug and play. There's no drivers that you have to install. And it just makes for a much more reliable overall piece of equipment. When you upgrade OSs, the thing just seems to keep on working, and you're not constantly trying to compare versions of software and drivers, and it's a mess, man. It's a real mess, you know. So simple is better. The simpler you can keep your studio chain, your audio equipment, and your computer set up, in my opinion, unless you like teching and geeking on this stuff, otherwise, you know, keep it simple.
You end up with headaches. And the same could be said for your audio output file. I mean, I think most clients just want, you know, a plain, simple, vanilla, unadorned, unaffected, unprocessed. You know, they want to give it to them. Let them play with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's a trend that's shifting in that regard where it was that case for most clients. And, you know, that's kind of what you want. You want to be able to just send a file and be done, you know, normalize or something, but maybe that's it. But now it seems like if you don't send it out pre-processed on a lot of these projects, then they don't know what they're doing. There's no audio expert on the other end, and your file goes out kind of flat and not very hot and not mastered. And I've heard of my own clients, some of them in pretty big promo markets and stuff, complaining about the audio quality that's going out on TV.
Really?
You know? Yeah. So
that is changing then.
It is shifting. There's less and less experienced audio engineers in the loop, and there's more and more of a burden on you guys, the voice talent, to produce good quality audio, or not just good quality, but mastered and sweetened audio. That's happening more and more. So be prepared for that. if you haven't had to yet, you're lucky, but be prepared. I think you're going to have to start doing it more and more.
Yep.
So let's throw out to a break. Let's take a little break here and, we will be right back with announcements and stuff from FAFCON from Dan. So stand by, everybody. We'll be right back.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, George has set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Welcome back to eWabs. We were expecting you, but we still didn't bake a cake. Here's Dan and George.
Or in this instance, Dave. I'm sitting in for the illustrious Dan Leonard because he's actually in transit. You know, and Dan's had one heck of a week. For those of you who don't know, and I don't think he'd mind us sharing, George, his father-in-law passed away this last week. And Dan was very close to his father-in-law, his wife's father. So he had to go to Florida just before FAFCON. He had to go to Florida for the internment. And then he flew back to Buffalo, then back to Charlotte. And God bless him. He had to do so much just in a few days. And he's got a cold now. He's in transit on his way back to Buffalo from Charlotte. And he did send us some video. But our hats off to Dan for really going through it this last week.
Yeah, I know. It's been a rough one. We wasn't sure if he was going to make it to FAFCON. It was really touch and go with his father-in-law there, and he passed relatively quickly at that point, and he was able to, you know, get the funeral and, you know, move on, which is, there's no easy way to do that, but at least you can make it, you know, not so painful. And speaking of Dan, his ears were burning. He's calling us now, and he wants to be in the show.
Okay,
Hang on. Where did he go? He disappeared. Maybe he'll try again in a second.
He's probably using his phone or his iPad or something. You know, I know he's just calling in on the fly.
I'm telling him to call in again. Let's see if he'll call in again. Yeah, he is like literally at the airport using his iPhone, so we'll see how it works out. I know we can't do three-way video chat with an iPhone, so we'll at least be able to hear him. But anyway, we'll see if he calls back in. But now it is time for our favorite part of the show.
It's now time for announcements! Announcements!
Cool.
Here he is, and here's Dan. So I'll pop him in, and he'll say hi, and then we'll move through the announcements. Hey, Dan.
Hey there. Can you hear me?
We hear you fine, my friend. We're just starting the announcements.
Oh, cool.
Perfect timing. So listen in, and we'll have Dave go on with the first announcement.
Okay.
You want to talk about the eWabs membership program, $75 a month for all the expertise that Dan and George can possibly give you, $750 a year. Believe me, that's a pretty good price. 2 months free if you get it that way. And George and Dan will answer your questions and be by your side by email and even, I guess, phone calls, right, too, George?
Yeah, right now it's starting out as email, but it may evolve into including more methods of communication. But right now it's not meant to be like an emergency support thing. It's more of an ongoing education, the ability to learn more about production, work out technical issues in your studio. We can even do things like create an audio processing stack for you. And just basically you have us at your fingertips. If you have a question, you're going to email it and Dan and I, one or both of us will respond. So,
Is ewabshop.com.
Yeah, ewabshop@gmail.com is the email address that you're going to be using for that. Yep. But there's a sign up for it at ewabs.com. There is a sign up to join it. It's a link at the top of the page that says support. So if you click on the support link at the top of ewabs.com, There is a sign-up link there, and again, you can do it by the month or by the year. And if you do a full year up in advance, you're basically getting $150 off because you've paid in advance. So keep our show on the air. It's the best possible way you can keep this show going, and also provide yourself a huge amount of long-term and maintenance, and we'll just keep make sure your computer is running smoothly, which is probably one of the biggest problems. We'll keep it maintained, you know, that kind of stuff. So, Dan, what's going on your end?
Oh, I'm in the airport.
You found a pretty quiet spot, I have to say.
Well, it's actually, you know, it's nice and carpeted here at the Douglas Airport in Chicago. Or no, where I'm in Charlotte. Well, if I'm in Chicago, it's been a long week. No, this is a very nice airport. I'm waiting here at gate B7 for my flight back to Buffalo, and had a very nice time here, actually. And even better, I've been able to watch the first 20 minutes of the show on my iPhone. So, and it looked great.
Awesome.
It sounds great.
Awesome. So, you know, we've talked about FAFCON. What's been your, do you have a golden nugget for us?
A couple of golden nuggets. You know, tiny little things that you pick up, like, instead of a full second pre-roll on your auditions, try a half second. A couple of agents were there, and they were saying that, you know, it's really important to get your audio running as fast as possible when you're sending a demo out or an audition out. So don't hesitate on that. And the other stuff, our good friend Jeffrey Kiefer, who's an audiobook guru, does a lot of audiobooks, gave me some great tips about how you keep your audio for an audiobook simple. Don't obsess about taking out the noises and things like that. Just edit it for time and let them worry about it, because only the folks at ACX and various other producers know how they want to complete the audio. So don't do any of that stuff, which was a revelation to a lot of people who were there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this was the best FAFCON so far. I'm sorry we couldn't do another Russian talk show from there this time, but right now, as you can hear, I have a cold, which a number of people started to pick up at the conference, but the hotel, the Omni was magnificent. The food was really good. The facility was excellent. But this was the best FAFCON because there was the most experts there. I mean, people who, you know, we trust, and, you know, including me. Dan Freeman and Cliff Zelman and
Bob Sauer.
Bob Sauer, of course, was there. He's always there. He's like the perpetual sponsor.
Oh yeah.
And and Amy Snively did a great job of running the show, and it ran on time. The coffee was good, but the best part was that, you know, usually I show up to these things and it's like, "Are you Dan Leonard? My gosh! Oh, I read your stuff." There wasn't a whole lot of that because all of those people were my friends. There was a couple of fresh faces in there.
Yeah,
some people who I knew, some people who were people who I had known about. But most of them were my friends, so there was none of this, like, because
Starstruck.
I'm on the... Exactly, yeah, which is, to me is silly. I mean, Liv Zelman was like, "I came to the last FAFCON so I could meet you." I'm like, "Hey, give me a break, come on."
Meet you?
Yeah, exactly, you know. So, it's kind of weird, but there was some great stuff there, and it was really a nice conference. And but I do have to tell a funny story about how I got here. You know, and then you can run the video.
Yeah, I will.
Show the stuff.
Intro the video, yeah.
Yeah, I unfortunately, my father-in-law passed away on Monday, and I had to go running down to Florida. And of course, due to the timing, I was able to get the FAFCON, fortunately. But to get back to Buffalo, which, you know, from West Palm Beach, I had to fly through Charlotte. So I'm flying, so I land in Charlotte. I'm like, "Can I just get off the plane?" I'm like, "No, you can't go." I'm like, "All right." So my son Lewis and I fly up to Buffalo. I get off the plane from Charlotte, which was then heading back towards Charlotte. As I'm getting off the plane from Charlotte, who's standing in line in Buffalo to get on the plane to go back to Charlotte?
Peter O'Connell.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He sees me walking out of the plane, and he looks at the gate, and he's like, "Wait a second, you're coming from Charlotte?" So I said, yeah, it's hard to explain. I'll see you in 12 hours. You know, like, he gets on the plane, I head off, and, you know, and I go home for 12 hours. I get up, and 12 hours later, I was back in Charlotte. So it was an adventurous week, I must say. Quite an odyssey of about 1,500 miles, like less than 12 hours. And but anyway, some of the footage, I don't know what order you put it in there, because I just emailed it to
pretty
you.
Pretty much sequentially. However you sent it to me, I cut it together and took out the shakiest parts.
Okay, well, yeah, which, as you know, I don't have the steadiest hand around. But so what you'll see is, actually, you can probably just roll it over my somewhat dulcet tones, you know, dulled by this cold.
See if I can do that. I don't have my audio routed to do that right now.
Okay, all right, we'll just show it after this then. Essentially, what you'll see is the opening circle. You'll see some of the people who were there. You'll see one of the sessions. You'll see lunch, and you'll see Bob Sauer, Chris Metzelesta, Cliff Zelman, and Dusty Ebaugh and myself eating at this place called Mertz, which is this soul food restaurant.
Nice.
You know, we're having collard greens and, awesome. You know, fried chicken. And it was good. It was good. So anyway, so roll that beautiful bean footage. And,
here we go. Let's listen in.
Our Hall of Fame.
And they're buzzing. And they're contributing. And they're, you know, and then they go and they pollinate a flower somewhere else. And they're talking to you.
That goes on here.
And then behind them in that little place with blooms. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing, but they're right there everywhere. And then that's something that they're, that's valid. That's totally valid. And then there are the people who are, and they're committed. And those are the people who don't need as much Adderall as I do to get through.
So I have, on average, I have about 100 to 110 consistent clients that come to me each month from radio stations and TV stations, whatever. And so people come and say, man, like, what are you doing? Because I'm doing all this marketing and I'm spending all this time and all this money and I'm just, nothing's happening. What, what's your secret? And my secret is when I started. I went out on my own in 1995 and the timing was perfect.
So we're finishing up FAFCON 2012 and a half at Mertz's restaurant in Charlotte. We'll see you next time. We got Dusty here and Cliff and Chris and Bob Sauer is eating with us.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Don't miss it. We'll see you next time.
Hey folks, can we start off?
That it?
There we are. We're back out.
Pretty much fun.
Yeah, it was good. Now, what's amazing is we stretched the limits of technology here that I was even able to get that to you, and that I can even talk to you right now is pretty incredible. But did we announce where the next FAFCON is going to be?
You let the cat out of the bag, right, Dave?
Yeah, I think we mentioned it's San Antonio, right, Dan?
San Antonio, that's right. October 4th, Yahoo! 2013.
Now, is that going to be in the fall?
That will be. It'll be a year from now.
Okay.
We're not going to do it twice a year. It's going to be once a year, and that was Amy's plan. And, you know, she developed a market for this. There's 100 people. It sells out in a couple of days, sometimes in a couple of hours. And it's big time. And it's, of course, only for working professionals and people who have gone in the past have priority to go. But, you know, not everybody goes back. And because you didn't go, Raul Gorman was able to be there. And because I didn't go,
somebody else was able to go.
I just have one question, Dan.
Yes, sure.
How did the spiral notebooks look?
Oh, they're magnificent, Dave.
They are great.
I mean, I could have used my iPad to take notes, but no, I had to use the Dave Courvoisier notebook.
Love it.
Yes, and I will now use it for a couple more months for taking down doctor's appointments and go to the bank, shovel the driveway, you know, stuff like that. Just so I had the to-do list on there. Anyway, but that's it from here. And you know, I still can't believe that we stretched the limits of technology the way we do every week on the show. But
I love it.
It's a blast.
Now if I can just cure the common cold, then we'll really have something.
Oh man, good luck with that.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Take some zinc.
There was a Walgreens downstairs, took some Zicam.
All right, man. Good luck to you.
God bless you.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks,
have a safe
George.
Flight.
All right, you guys have a great show. It's been great so far.
Safe travels.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. I love what we do on this show.
It's amazing. You know, I really love the way you guys handle this. And for Dan to just come in like that off his iPhone from the airport, that's just great stuff.
He would have been on video, but there's a little limitation with Skype that it won't allow an iOS or portable device to share in on the video. So, but, you know, still really amazing. Really amazing.
No, it's great stuff.
Should we blast through a few more announcements? I can do the one on the on our newly released mini Pop Stop. Well, actually, it's more of a I kept calling it a pre-sale, but really more of it's more of a group buy. So what we're doing is we've got the new mini Pop Stop pop filter screen, which is on sale on the website at ewabs.com. And you can basically join in on a big group buy and be part of purchasing one of these on the front end. And so what we'll be able to do is because we're buying them together, and Dave's got one that's very similar to what we're doing. That is one of the Hook Studio pop screens Dave?
Right. And it doesn't have the eWabs. Is it a similar design? Because it sure looked like it on the video.
Yeah, you'll see it on the website. I'm going to share on the screen here in a second the photographs of the unit. But it is a very similar design. Basically, what we did was we just took a pop screen that was already kind of out there made by the Hook Studios here in L.A.
Yeah, that's where I got it.
And we just massaged the design so we could actually make it fit on a Apogee mic correctly without having to lose the ability to see the level, the metering. There's like a light on the front of the unit that shows, you know, your relative levels from like a green to yellow to red on the Apogee mic. And this unit has a little window in the front, and then it also has an extra long neck so that the strap doesn't cover the gain control. So
makes sense.
We definitely we took a current idea, massaged it. Graham Spicer in Toronto is also part of that, helping us work with Mike Frenchick to redesign this thing. And I'm really proud of how it turned out. So we're going to get a group buy of 25 units so we can get a better price. And these things are really CNC made one at a time here in L.A. It's a pretty limited run unit. And once we sell out the 25, we'll sell them at the regular price of 50. But we're selling the group buy at $40 each, including shipping by U.S. postage to U.S. and Canada. And outside of those areas absolutely drop us a line, and we'll figure out a way to get to you affordably. And I think it's going to be a product that is going to be pretty popular because there's a lot of people out there using Apogee mics. So please join in. I think we've sold about 8 of them so far. So far we've sold them to Lee Penny in Costa Mesa, Janet Alt in Scottsdale, Deb from Scottsdale, Richard Baldwin in Toronto, Rachel Fulgenetti here in L.A., Jamie Buck in Maryland, Bob Skidcompat.
Still in Palia.
Thank you. I should have let you read that in. In Connecticut, and Jane Ingalls in Maryland, and Dave Brower in Colorado. So thanks, you guys, for getting in on this early and helping to fund basically we're doing like our own little version of Kickstarter, basically.
Love it.
You know? Have you ever joined in any Kickstarter stuff?
I haven't.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But I sure looked at it hard. I mean, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Question? That placement in front of the microphone is not too close?
Well, yeah, no, it is very close. But what I found is that proper microphone placement for voiceover really precludes having a microphone this close.
Okay.
Like when you're using a condenser, if you're to address the mic dead on from the front like this close, even with a good pop screen, you will pop the thing.
Yeah.
But I find that when it's positioned slightly about 30 to 40 degrees off to about 5-6 inches away, you still sound very much like you're right on mic. In fact, I can switch mics. So now I'm on the 30-35, and I can move this mic pretty far around me like this, and as long as it's aimed it properly at my mouth, it still sounds like I'm on mic. You hear almost no difference in tonal quality and anything.
True.
And I find that having it slightly to the side like this, you can't pop the mic. Just the Apogee mic is particularly plosive sensitive. Because that little grill on the front of it is so close to the capsule because the mic is really small. I don't know if you've ever seen one in person.
It's very
small. So it's really plosive sensitive. So you throw this pop screen in front of it, And that sensitivity is killed completely. Not to say you couldn't pop it if you really wanted to, but it changes the way you can use the mic. You no longer have to use the Apogee mic from quite a distance now. You can get it in tighter, get a little bit more of its richness and fullness from the proximity effect and things. So that was the idea. I just thought it'd be fun to do something totally unique that was not really seen out there yet and get our name printed on the grill. So
yeah, that's great. So that you're recommending it specifically for the Apogee mic.
We're recommending it, and we designed it for the Apogee mic.
Okay.
But it will fit on a lot of different mics.
Sure.
As you can see in my promo photo on the website, that is not an Apogee mic. I don't happen to have one right now. I sold the one I had to a client. But it is the one I have it strapped to is like an older MXL mic. But it's a universal design. The way the strap's designed, it'll fit.
Sure.
Big, thick mics to little mics and everywhere in between. So it's pretty darn universal. So
nice.
Check that out. If you guys haven't jumped in on that, we hope that you can help support the show a tad bit. We make a little bit off of that thing, not a whole lot, but it's really more just to provide something that's totally unique out there.
And you didn't even mention the mugs and the t-shirts.
Oh, yeah. There's all the other cool
baseball
stuff
caps.
We have. The travel mug.
Yeah.
The baseball caps. Yeah, we've got a range of stuff, you know, and all of these little fun items help keep the show going as well. And,
got it.
You can show how proud you are of being an EWABS fan if you want to and get your mugs, your hats, your mouse pads, your laptop cases. And all that stuff is at shop.ewabs.com. And as always, it is linked from the ewabs.com website.
I notice also, George, for next week, you're going to have Bill Smith on from Oralex.
We are?
And
that's awesome.
It says EWABS next week, October 21st.
It says it right
Bill
there.
Smith. See, I have a funny story about that. I was doing a video with Bill DeWeese from Chicago. You know,
oh.
He puts on a weekly a video on YouTube. And I did a brief interview with him. And later on that day, I got an email from Bill Smith of Oralex. He goes, I noticed you had Oralex in the background of your shot. He noticed that and sent me a nice note and said, thanks for the plug and thanks for mentioning us and let me know what I can do for you. And very personable. So you're going to have fun with him.
That's cool. That's basically how he's ended up on the show.
Yeah.
He was watching, actually watching the show, saw Dan mentioning the Oralex, and he was like, I love that you guys are talking about the product and, you know, da, 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 and before you know it, here he is. He's coming on our show. So, you know what? You manufacturers out there, you vendors that are tuned in and watching what's going on out there on the blogs and in the you know, these little niche markets, you guys are the smart ones. You know, you guys are the ones that are going to figure out a market and really provide a good product that's for our market. And that
you know,
we really
and
need
I've,
that.
I've never understood why more vendors don't get on board with stuff like this, because the voiceover market is not a small market. I mean, I'm
not
looking
anymore.
At thousands probably of possible purchasers. And, you know, I've tried to interest BSW and Sweetwater and Full Compass and all those into, you know, tailor making a certain promotion or marketing technique for voiceover people, and they just don't seem interested. I just don't get it. I've even tried to talk some, like, used to be EQ Magazine. I think now it's Musicians something or other magazine.
Yeah.
And almost the whole magazine can appeal to a voiceover person because it's all the same equipment. But they market mostly to audio engineers and musicians and production people. And I said, let me write a monthly article for voiceover people, and I got no response.
I know. Hey, I went really far with BSW. I literally put together 6 custom packages that I signed my name to. I had my services bundled with the packages, the whole 9. And I was really excited for obvious reasons. I thought BSW was going to get behind this. And they gave it one push. They said, here it goes. It's in the catalog. And that was it. And I can't blame. I understand the president. I've met Tim. I know him. He's a very nice guy. I understand why they couldn't push it. But what happened was the guy who was my champion over there moved on to another company. And that can happen because BSW looks like a big company, but really it's like 15 people. It's a pretty small organization.
And Sweetwater, too. They're in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yeah.
And they're lean and mean and they keep
mean.
A skeleton through.
It's true.
But so God bless Bill Smith for, you know, for taking notice of us.
Yeah,
I appreciate
it. I love that. Thank you, Bill. I'm going to be on the VO Buzz Weekly, which I can't believe.
That's great. Those guys are like, you got two sessions, right?
Yeah, I guess that's the norm. They okay. have so much content they cover that we split it into two. So October 21st and October 28th. So you'll be able to see that probably before we even go on the air, because I think they release it in the morning, early in the morning on Sunday. Just so you can beat us.
But you finagled a giveaway, a way to give away something pretty. Talk about that.
Yeah, actually, we're giving away a. Remember, Charter Oak was on our show, Mike Deming? Right. Well, because of his amazing support of our business and really, vendors that get the voiceover industry, he's going to give away the same mic that he had on our show, that S700. He's giving it away on. We're going to give it away to a viewer that sends in a video. Telling the VO Buzz folks about how they love the show. So you guys got to be a part of that because you could win. And I just amazed that people are backing my endeavors like that, that Michael wanted to do it, and just that it all came together. But it's going to be a lot of fun because I get to talk a lot about I do like a top 10 list about what I think are the most important things for a voiceover studio. Mm. We talk a little bit about Don LaFontaine. We talk a little bit about a lot of different elements of the stuff of the world that I roam in out here in LA.
Well, did you talk about VO Studio Tech, your new endeavor?
We did. We talked about VO Studio Tech too, the new company. I've got a press release coming out this week about a whole new membership program. There's a lot going on. This is a really busy time. Even if I had bought the tickets to go to FAFCON, I probably couldn't have gone. I've been so busy with so many things in the air.
But, that's great.
I'm really happy about the way things have gone. So, I think that pretty much covers it. Birthday. I see there's even.
No, we need to mention Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Extra because they're our steady sponsors.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks to them. Yeah. We're going to run a spot for Harlan later, and we got one for John we're going to run too. But we thank you guys for continuing to spread the word about the show and sponsoring us. It's really awesome of you.
Well, both of those guys and EWABS were great sponsors for me in September for the VOA Today thing, and I thank you for that. It turned out to be amazing. Got to give away lots of neat stuff. Learned a lot from everybody, and you know, there's certain people that keep coming back around, and they're very enabling and supporting and encouraging. And you guys and Harlan was great, and VoiceOver Extra, John Florian, always wonderful about that.
Oh, thanks. We like to take care of each other, and it always comes out good. Like, there's always a positive thing that's going to come out of each of us investing in each other's businesses like this.
Yep, it sure does.
Always helps. Last one or two real quickies. Gabby Nistico will be speaking in Dallas, Texas on October 20th. Susan Bernard flew that one in there for us last week. And my birthday's on Thursday.
Ooh,
woohoo!
See, 23. How many you got there, big guy?
I'm kissing 40. I'm 39. And Lindsay Shepherd's, hers is on October 20th. So happy birthday to you,
Happy
Lindsay.
Birthday, buddy.
And so it's a good time to be alive. Anyway, we've gone entirely too long in this segment. So let's go into a spot real quick. We'll come back out and we'll share with you my interview with Tara Strong. I hope you guys like that. It was a lot of fun, and she's a sweet lady. So we'll have that for you guys in just a minute. But we'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop.
All right.
Stay tuned.
now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
Speaking of Apollo 13, did you guys tune in and watch the capsule, the guy jump out of the capsule?
Felix, I saw Baumgartner, some coverage of that.
Jumping
amazing.
Out of the Red Bull Stratos project. Holy smokes. I had tears running out of my eyes.
It's just amazing. You know, it looked like he was an astronaut almost.
He was, for all intents and purposes.
But I mean, the perspective of the Earth that he had from up there is like almost in outer space.
Yeah, he's literally looking at the blackness of space in front of, like, if he looks up, it's blackness of space.
So I wonder, I guess that suit was for the reentry heat?
The suit was for, you know, oxygen, temperature control. At one point, it was the point where he jumped out of the capsule, it was about minus 14 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm. You know, it was to keep him
moderated.
He actually, I'm waiting to hear on the record, but I think he broke the sound barrier. Mach. He hit Mach in free fall. You know, so that had to protect him. And you have to watch, go on YouTube, you guys, and watch this if you haven't seen it. Watch him jump out of this thing and watch them video it from Earth, you know, about 25 miles away. And the guy follows him as he's falling. It's unbelievable. Like, everything that they had to pull off to even shoot the thing, let alone him do it, is amazing. You see this infrared image of a little body that looks like a rag doll, literally flipping through the air because he's like spinning and flipping. And then all of a sudden, he hits the atmosphere. It gets, you know, he hits more atmosphere and he's finally able to stabilize himself and then sort of come out of that spin. And then he falls for another like 4 minutes.
Yeah,
he free falls for like 4 minutes.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, it was absolutely unbelievable. Really,
and
amazing.
I have a renewed respect for that. There's a place right on the Strip here in Las Vegas called Indoor Skydiving, and what they do is they horizontally place this huge propeller underneath you with a wire mesh, and they ramp up this this propeller to gale force winds, and you throw yourself out over this thing, and it just you float up.
Have you done it?
So it's like, it really is like indoor skydiving, but the effect is just, you know, it's like being on a trampoline or something. You have to have those kind of inner gyroscope abilities to be able to handle it.
You literally become an aircraft.
Yeah.
You use your hands and every part of your body you feel like a bird with the tail and leveling yourself out. That's on the bucket list, man. Did you do it? Did you actually get to do it?
Oh, yeah, it's fun. And it's true. They give you this big flappy suit so you have more
Air
surface, you know, and it catches you. And whatever you do, any little movement or shift of weight or anything has an effect on how you're moving. It's amazing.
That's so cool. Well, man, enough of that. This has been a supercharged week. I'm just buzzing even thinking about how amazing that was. But this is I got to go see Tara Strong on Wednesday.
Right.
My wife Amy came along with me and helped shoot a little video. And it's a little interview with Tara at her place. And without further ado, here we go. Tara Strong, thank you for taking the time out of your day for us to come in here and invade your privacy, your space.
Thank you for making my studio for me.
You're welcome.
For teaching me what to do.
You're so welcome. That's what I love to do.
Well, you know, this job, in my opinion, was challenging in terms of the sound because we're pretty close to Burbank Airport. And before you showed up, I did what a lot of voice actors do, which is just have their closet.
Mm-hmm.
And right in the middle of an audition, inevitably, it would be like, and I'm like, do you know you're ruining my audition? Yeah. And I'd be cursing out airplanes, and of course, they didn't listen to me. And so when we finally decided to go ahead and make a studio in ISDN, I was so happy that you showed up. Because without you, we'd still have airplanes in there.
Fortuitous timing, right? Wasn't it? Because you were like already in sort of the beginning stages. Mm-hmm. You were working with the contractor.
Right.
And it just worked out. It was just great timing.
Yes.
It was great timing.
Lucky for me.
It's nice when I can get in there at that stage of the game and be able to correct things that would be, you know, very, very expensive to fix later, you know?
Yeah, and you could see that. I mean, when you came in and the contractor who, I guess, had worked on some pretty big studios but still wasn't savvy enough, and you were, like, listening to the walls and touching certain things, and you're like, nope, you should do this, this, and this, and not this, and not this, and do this, this, and this, and there was no way where they were doing this when you showed up. They were still doing that.
Right.
And then he made it to this.
I guess I'm sort of the booth whisperer.
Yeah,
I'm not like
the booth whisperer.
I don't walk in with lots of equipment and meat. I'm just sort of like, you know, I fake it all the way.
That's your gift.
How often do you have to stop for a minute and go, oh, the kids? I mean, is it?
Never.
Never anymore?
First of all, I'm in that studio every single day. I'm doing at least auditions every day. And I also do the Bad Girls Club right out of my studio. And I also do some spots for Walmart online.
Yeah.
And some promos for My Little Pony.
Mm-hmm.
And the My Little Pony promos are ISDN. And I've never had an issue. Never.
That's great.
I mean, once in a while, if they're screaming right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
one of the rules is you never stop the take for a noise. You pretend and you just pretend nothing's going on and you just keep going.
I will say there's one thing that you didn't fix that you can't fix.
What?
My stomach.
Oh. Is it that quiet?
Right in the middle of something. Wow. I'm like, really? You're not the star here.
We have to put a snack bar. We have to put a snack bar in there. Like, we have to put like a little emergency food for Tara.
George does not fix stomach noises.
Introducing Nook HD. It's the lightest tablet of its kind with the highest resolution. It has books, magazines, and movies like you've never seen before. And it's the first tablet designed to be shared with the whole family. You just might not want to. Introducing Nook HD, the world's best 7-inch HD media tablet. Find yours at Barnes & Noble. Find yours at Barnes & Noble and Target. See? That's how I roll.
So did you win that one?
I don't know yet.
Right,
just did that last night. This one was last night, and then this morning was, oh my gosh, so many. So see, already today I've got this one to hit tonight.
Right.
That's a new cartoon audition.
Oh, you got to tell us about the art on the wall over here. Is that fan art?
This is, yes, there's actually like a My Little Pony Museum of Traveling Art.
Really?
And I did an event, and this is my character, Twilight Sparkle.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was so cute. So I bought it at the, art show. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. I just thought it was so cute.
what would be like one of the most, dramatic reads that you would do for an audition? Do you get to ever do anything like really kind of, or maybe twisted?
Like I could see me going like, you know, if something's really bad, yeah. Or like, let's go, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the most animated I'll be in here.
Yeah, because this is, you know how to play for the mic. You don't
yeah.
have to play for an audience. You know how to make
yeah, it and I mean, typically with cartoons, you move around a little bit, but
yeah.
all within the parameters of the mic.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so how much of your day is spent out working out in the studios around L.A., and how much do you get to do from home?
Well, I'm not one of the people that do regular, like I've got friends, David Kay and Vanessa Marshall, that are in their studios all day.
Yeah.
And that's not my scenario because I do so much animation, which is group recording.
Mm-hmm.
But I am in that studio every single day, including this morning I was in for an hour laying down some auditions. And sometimes every evening when I come home, there's stuff waiting for me. So time-wise, it's not quite a 50-50 split, but there is probably an hour every day that I'm in there.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means it's paying for itself.
Of course.
Quickly.
No, I mean, you know, the beauty for me is I started in animation when I was 13 years old, and there is something to be said for the people that have been working for a tremendous amount of time.
Yeah.
They're going to get the right take between 1 and 3 if they're real instinctive about it, and waiting around for an audition at which used to be the agent's office. And I always was worried about people outside waiting mm-hmm. or listening.
Like you felt self-conscious?
Yeah, yeah, not so much about my performance, but I didn't want people listening and I didn't want to hold people up.
Yeah.
And I knew if I was going to deliver something, I wanted it to be perfect. So when I have my own studio, I can make it perfect. Now, I've got friends that like, oh, I need to be directed. And I don't need that for my initial audition. Once you get to the callback stage, that's mm-hmm. a different story. But
yeah.
for my initial audition, I want to sit there and edit it and make it exactly what I want without having to worry about anybody waiting or giving me wrong direction. There's a very famous scenario in my world about a girl named Cree Summer that did not get a show called Drawn Together.
Mm.
And that's partially because she was directed to do it like a little girl. And I was working on the show already.
Oh.
And I said, Foxy Love is Cree Summer. And they're like, no, her audition was. And then they played it for me, and it was sort of like her Elmira stuff. Hmm. And I was like, no, no, no. Bring in Cree.
Okay.
She's Foxy Love. Okay. Like, and so sometimes when, and it's not the fault of the agent, but sometimes there's this different directions. And for me personally, I need my own space to make it exactly what I want. And thanks to you.
So you don't have any pressure. Nothing. Nobody is listening in. Nobody's right. watching you. You are taking advantage of having that private space to work
in. And also the nice thing for me is I'm one of those moms that's real hands-on, and I really miss them when I'm working or I'm not here. And so the fact that I can get my auditions done and they're just in the next room, or like it's early in the morning and they're sleeping and they're right there. Like, I love being close to them and being close to home. I love that.
Was there ever a period of time where you were really glad to get out of the house, like when they were a little bit smaller?
No,
maybe?
I was never like that. No, I'm one of those crazy moms that's like, I know it's going to go so fast, and I still miss them when they're at school. I'm crazy.
Wow. No, that's really nice, because not everybody has that.
No, and in fact, now I'm so busy with a lot of conventions, because My Little Pony is like this international sensation, and as it is, I go to these conventions, and of course, there's fans of Batgirl and Harley Quinn and the Powerpuff Girls. I get a lot of old Powerpuff toys and Fairly Odd Parents and Final Fantasy DVDs, all kinds of stuff. But the biggest draw is My Little Pony. I've never seen a fan base like it. The Bronies are just this incredible.
The Bronies. What are the Bronies?
The Bronies are adult fans of My Little Pony, and they're hilarious and adorable and supportive and really verbal on Twitter. And I just love them so much, even though, you know, people don't necessarily understand them. But at the end of the day, they're watching a show that makes them feel good, and they're not hurting anyone. And in fact, they're helping people. They've raised probably $100,000 for, I've got two kids with friends of mine with children with brain tumors that we're raising money for. And they're just phenomenal. And so when I go there to meet them, you know, to do the autograph signing, the only reason I don't go more is because I miss the kids.
Yeah.
And my 8-year-old's like, Mommy, I cried myself to sleep last night. I'm like, oh, jeez. I'm sorry. I was hanging with the Bronies.
Speaking of, like, imitating voices, I mean, you obviously had to have done quite a bit of that growing up. I mean, were you constantly, were you like the class clown?
You know, I knew when I was 5 that I wanted to act and sing and dance, and I do have memories very young performing in front of my class. And I always did silly voices, and my mom and I would go into stores and I'd say, let's pretend we're from England. And, you know, every toy had a different voice. We had a pet bunny when I was a kid, and I'd always make it do noises and speak to my sister like, I hate you. Tara's my favorite, you know, little bratty. And we had our own little radio show. So I always did that. And you see a lot of kids doing that. And I was always encouraged to sort of follow that dream.
That's great.
And I didn't know that it was going to be so heavily in animation or voiceover. And when I was 13, I had my two first professional jobs. One was an on-camera show with Mr. T, and the other was Hello Kitty, which is my first animated show. So
at 13?
At 13.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, I guess, as a girl, by the time you're 13, has your voice relatively settled? I know the women's voice changes gradually over time, right?
Yeah, I don't, I'm sure it changed a little, but I can still do Hello Kitty.
Isn't that a thing?
You want to hear it?
Yeah, totally.
Hello Kitty's Furry Tale Theater is proud to present The Wizard of Paws. That's exactly what I did.
So, I mean, that, doing a voice like that, that's a voice that you can keep doing. Isn't it really important when you do an animation voice that you have to be able to have consistency and be able to do it for the long
Yeah,
haul,
and
right?
For whatever reason, those of us that do it consistently have that skill.
Yeah.
Where once you create a character, it kind of lives somewhere.
It's locked in there.
And then
you
just bring it out, yeah.
That's exactly what you
And I remember I was at a Rugrats taping, and one of the artists drew Baby Dill really quick, like getting drunk and doing all these crazy things. And it was silly drawing, but it was so skillful. It was so good. And it was so quick, and I said, how do you do that? And he said, how do you do what you do? And I went, okay. Okay, that's my gift, I guess. And you don't really forget a voice. And the only time you forget is when you go from audition to booking. Because sometimes at the audition, you'll do 3 or 4 different choices.
Oh, yeah.
And so typically they'll say, we like this one, and they'll play you their select
at the
session.
I was going to say, do they give you a reference? And you can, okay, that's good. Just your day, like, Do you have crazy hours, or do you get to work relatively like, you know, banker hours these days?
I don't have the craziest hours. So for instance, this morning and got to go do my workout, which I love. It's Shift, by the way. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I went to Shift, and then I came back here, and I did four commercial auditions and two animated auditions. And then I went and did Mad TV at 12. And then I got to do a couple errands and then pick up the kids and take them for haircuts.
Nice. Not too bad.
No.
And then we made her do this.
Yeah.
So her day's a little longer today.
That's okay. It's completely unpredictable, which is my only challenge. Like, I've had to cancel, I can't tell you how many doctor's appointments or hair appointments or whatever, because sometimes they'll be like, Tara, they need you right now to do this, or they need you right here to do that, on top of my regular bookings. Like, for instance, right now, Fairly Odd Parents is on Tuesdays, Teen Titans is on Fridays. I always know, like, the set days.
Regular things that you can count on, you know when they are. Yeah.
Right. That's on top of that, there's always the, they need you to do this.
Do you ever have to go into the booth? I mean, do you get auditions where they're like, you got to get this in by, you know, the end
all
of the day?
Time.
And
mm-hmm.
you have to get in, like, at the end of the day after dinner.
And sometimes they just email and don't call me. I'm like, why didn't you call me? So, that happens a lot. We're like, they need this right away.
Urgent email.
Yeah.
The two should be mutually exclusive. Yeah,
happens a lot. And thank goodness I have a good studio to do it in.
No, that's
Thanks
great.
To George.
Well, thank you so much for having us into your home today.
Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thanks for making me feel.
Tara Strong, she's awesome and fun. And I don't even know how I'm going to end this.
Thanks for watching. I'll help you. Thanks for watching. And if you need a home studio, call this guy, because he knows what he's doing. If he can work with me, he can work with anyone.
's embarrassing the way
nice
I did that.
Plug. She gave you a great plug, George.
Jeez, she did plug the heck out of me.
That was a great interview. You really did a good job with that. And we were talking underneath this as it was playing. Your wife shot that.
My wife.
She did a great job.
I love my wife. Amy is amazing.
She did a really nice job.
She is not a videographer at all. She never shoots. She's a still photographer shooter. And I said, Amy, hold this. You know, and we didn't have a proper rig for her. Do you remember that crazy shoulder mount thing?
Oh my gosh.
Well, I said,
wrote a blog about it.
I said, Amy, put this on. And it's not female compatible.
I see.
At all. She's like, no, I can't do this. I have to hand hold the camera. I'm like, oh God. Okay. Well, you know, she held that thing for about 20 minutes.
She did great.
She did really well. Yeah.
And you were saying your mic cut out. Your batteries ran out on your lavalier mic about halfway through, and you were picking up the sound from her lavalier.
Sure enough, man. It's so you have to have checklists. Let me just put
you do.
You have to have checklists. And I was doing everything I could to get that together on a relatively short notice, and preparation is not one of my fortes, let's put it that way. And I just didn't have my batteries charged up on my transmitter. But yeah, my mic died, and so I used Pro Tools automation, and I rode the volume up and down. So whenever I spoke, I brought it up. When she spoke, I brought it down, up and down.
Folks, just so you know, George was telling me that he went into this without any prepared questions. He planned to wing it. And he said that the only reason he made it through was because he's done 68 EWABS episodes now. And so you're getting really good at this, George. And what was the one thing that struck you about Tara that you came away with?
Just how she's very genuine. And at the same time, she's just a pro at the same time. You know, that's what made it so easy for me, not having a lot of preparation. I didn't have notes. But she has been interviewed and had been on so many panels. Like, she's been at Comic-Con probably 15 times. Yeah. She goes to all those fans. And so she's just a natural. You put her on the camera, you start interviewing. But she's great at it, too. She doesn't ramble on. Like, she,
it's very genuine.
You couldn't have made it easy. She could not have had an easier person to do that with. So I thank you, Tara, for being so easy for me to interview.
Yeah, she is quite a talent.
Yeah. Talent and beautiful, and she's got two really cool kids that are also talented, and one's getting into acting, and one's a shreds. He's like an 8-year-old kid that can play Van Halen on the guitar, you know, really cool. And her husband's a really cool, great guy, and they're just, it's great. It's great to be able to work with them, and I was with her. She told me about a fundraiser event that was on Saturday night, and she said, you have to come. Tom Kenny is going to be there, SpongeBob.
Yeah.
And so I went on Saturday night. I brought Ella. It was a little wildlife preserve thing where they do rescues of all sorts of animals. Yeah. They had things like a sugar glider, which is this little tiny Australian flying squirrel.
Right.
Like, it was so cute, you know, and you could pet them, and they had a two-toed sloth, which is really rare. Anyway, but I got to meet Tom, and I got to give him my card from eWabs as well as my own card, and Tom turned around, immediately wrote his personal email address on the card, handed it back to me, and said, "I think that would be fun. You know,
I like it.
Get in touch with me." You know, and
good stuff.
He proceeded to tell me how such a techno tard he is. As so many people that are really creative in the business, you know, that are super, you know, on like he can improvise. In fact, Tom was emceeing the event. I heard this voice going the whole time. Like whenever they had a break, this guy would talk about the fundraising event and why you need to donate. And I walk up and there, this is Tom. He's just riffing the whole time. So that guy, he is sharp. He is totally on his game. But so hopefully we'll get Tom on in 2013. We're going to rack up some really cool guests for next year.
Cool.
You know, and he'll
excellent.
Be, hopefully. We'll, so anyway, thanks. It was a lot of fun. And we'll have to do that again from time to time. I am planning on doing that with the guy, Wes Dooley, who started AEA, the ribbon microphone company.
Oh, right.
And so that's going to be I plan on doing a similar thing. I want to go up – instead of having him come here, I want to go to their factory because they're right here in Southern California in the L.A. area. Mm-hmm. And I want to go do a similar thing, do a little tour, and then sit down with him. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
When you said that, it reminded me of you ever seen this little skit they do on Saturday Night Live now? It's called The Californians.
No, I have to.
It's great. Everybody's got blonde hair, and they all talk like this, you know. So I hop in the 405, and I go down to La Cienega, and then I take a ride on, La Brea, and then everything they say is kind of couched in the terms of how you get there on the expressways, which is how Californians talk.
That's so true.
But when you said that you live in Southern California and so does he, I'm thinking, yeah, but how far away is that?
Yeah, exactly. I think they're in Pasadena. So that's anywhere
so like you
from...
get on the 405 and go south to the 11.
You're right.
And then
Well, just to give you some perspective, the VO Buzz weekly taping, it was at 5 p.m. on a Tuesday, the Tuesday after Columbus Day. Bad day to be driving at rush hour. It's about 14, 15 miles, hour and 45 minutes to get there. I was 45 minutes late. And, I was so embarrassed. I'm like, I've been here for 8 years. I navigate this city constantly to clients' houses, and I know how to get somewhere on time. And still I was over a half an hour late, you know, so.
I hear you.
Oh, man. Anyway, but I have to tune into that. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I'm getting to know more and more. I'm getting to know my neighbors, you know, people who are really locals that have been here forever. And just seeing it is a different lifestyle that I'm getting accustomed to.
Well, from wasn't it Virginia Tech you went to?
Well, I went to Virginia Tech, but I grew up in Pennsylvania.
That's totally a whole different.
Yeah. Grew up in Pennsylvania, just a different world. When I told my parents I'm going to go to LA, they were like, you might as well have been flying to another country or another planet.
It's different.
A very different. My wife's from Orange County, and a lot of them don't even drive up here to LA.
That's like a whole other world. Yeah.
It's a big deal, you know, and that's an hour, half an hour drive, you know. So, anywho.
Hey, we were going to mention about Wovo. I wanted to real quickly just give a little plug for a World Voices organization. We sent out the first raft of invitations for applications for membership a week or so ago, and that was just to folks who used to be in Savoa, or maybe they still think they are, or whatever. And that was a group of about 66 or 67 people, kind of an early test run to see if our mailings were getting out, to see if the application was usable, getting back those applications and seeing how we handle them in a database sort of way. So we sent those out about a week or so ago. We got a good response. And the next raft of invitations will be coming out in the next week or so. And we're going to be sending those out to the other 200 or 300 people who said they were interested in joining our little voiceover guild. And so if you were interested and you sent us an interest email or in any way told us you were interested on Facebook or whatever, you will be getting an application, and we're on our way. We'll get going.
Taking some baby steps to get it started. But if you guys know anything about starting an organization and then the infrastructure to make it run correctly, then you would totally understand why it's not, you know, like here it is and let's go. I mean, it is a huge process to build a database and have everything run smoothly.
Yep.
It's a mess. It's a lot of work.
We think we've gotten over a few of those hurdles. It's not all that pretty, but it does work, and we're on our way.
That's what matters. That's what matters. Well, we'll go to a quick break here, and we'll wrap up the show. We got a couple more things to share with you guys, and then so stay tuned, and we'll be right back with more of the show.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop with George Winham on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
Well, we should have called him and had him recut those.
Yeah, Dave in the desert and George on the coast.
Well, before we let you guys go, we almost ran out of time to thank our most important sponsor to date, and that's Harlan Hogan of voiceoversentials.com. I mean, he has been an unbelievably important part of this show existing. He's been there from the get-go when Dan and I were looking for someone to help kickstart the show and get us a little funds coming in. He was right there, and he's been there every step, and he hasn't missed a single installment. You know, he's been fantastic. So please do, every time you're thinking about buying equipment for any reason at all, anything that's voiceover related, please do check out voiceoveressentials.com. I love his website because it's lean and mean. You know, he doesn't over bloat it. And this is a lesson I'm learning from him, is like, don't over offer. Don't have too much stuff on your website. He has the stuff that you really actually need, as opposed to just, you know, having to fill in all the menus and have a lot of extra gear, you know, that makes things look impressive. No, he just has what you really need for recording voiceover, and that's all. He doesn't have a lot of bloat, you know, on the website, which is one thing that's so great.
And what I like about, you're right, it's very lean, and what I like about his product line is that he keeps improving on each element. Like the PortaBooth Pro is what, in its third generation now?
Third generation.
And it's tweak. He keeps tweaking it and making it better, and he listens to the feedback. He listens to people who have bought it and incorporates those ideas, and, you know, it just keeps getting better.
Yeah. Did you know the TED? You know the TED conference? Have you ever seen any
of
those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, amazing. Well, they bought a whole bunch of them for, I guess, doing on-the-site VO and stuff like that for the show. And they bought,
how's that for an endorsement?
Yeah, it's huge. He's got it right on his website. I would do it too if I had.
I would too, absolutely.
TED is incredible. Big. You know that people spend on average about $6,000 for a ticket to go to TED?
Really?
It's very expensive.
Did not know that.
We all watch it for free online.
Yeah, on YouTube, yeah.
It's incredible. Really amazing. So anyway, it's a great resource. His products are really well thought out. He's constantly innovating and refining. I just set up a PortaBooth Pro for one of my beloved clients, Rick Robles, who's one of these guys you've never heard of, who's working like crazy doing promo. And the product is amazing. You know, the hood that he has, there's like a thing that you unzip. I have to admit, I thought that thing was kind of silly. I actually kind of thought it was silly. Well, we set up the PortaBooth in Rick's very modern kitchen, marble, no soft surfaces in sight. Set the PortaBooth Pro up there. We threw we unzipped it and threw it over our heads, and each of us recorded something. And I was shocked at how dead the recording was.
You know, cool.
There was very little live room sound. So it really does do what it's marketed to do. It really does. And if that's a little bit rich for your blood, $350, he's got the PortaBooth Plus for like $179, I think, which actually sounds excellent and really is a great little product. So thanks again, Harlan Hogan, voiceoveressentials.com.
Yay, Harlan.
We really appreciate you being a key sponsor of our show, and we love you, buddy. We'll have you on again in 2013, because I'm sure you'll have more stuff to share with our audience. You always have something coming along, you know. So
good stuff.
Well, I figured we've had a heck of a show. I think we should probably start wrapping it up in a little bit. But I had one more thing that popped up on my radar, and I forgot to mention it last time. But there's the Focusrite came out with the iTrack. So, you know, we've all been looking for the Holy Grail, which is the perfect audio interface you can plug into an iPad, right?
Right.
This thing is about as close as I've seen to something that's perfect and is also affordable. It's called the iTrack, and it's a double. And what's also cool about it is it's not just an iOS device. It plugs into a Mac or a Windows PC as well. So nice. It's universal among all the platforms.
Nice.
Not Android. I'm dying for a device that'll work with my Galaxy S3. I've got the ultimate smartphone that can't record. So I'm waiting for that day to come. But
me too.
It really does work very well. It's very similar to the Scarlett 2i2, where it has two inputs, but it's got one that's for the mic and one's for guitar. Now, you guys probably don't need a guitar input, but considering what it has and why and the features it includes, including a dedicated port for an iOS connection, and then a secondary USB port, which is used to power the device, they did it right. They really did it right. Yes, you do need a power source. You have to plug it into some kind of power source to run on an iOS.
No batteries?
Right. There's no batteries in it, which I think they probably did to just save a lot of money. I think
What's
it would
the
have
price
been,
point, George?
It's $159.
And you can get it from Sweetwater, BSW, whatever?
I think it's everywhere. I think it's it's been fully released now, and it's out in the wild. So Bo Weaver, Mr. Bleeding Edge, bought one immediately, already gave me a very informal email review, and I got a thumbs up from Bo. I definitely got two thumbs up.
Cool.
He already has another device that's a lot more expensive, and it's specifically iOS. It only works with an iPad. But this thing is way more versatile. So,
what's the model again? What
it's
is
called
it?
The iTrack, the iTrack from Focusrite.
Focusrite.
Yeah, it's because of its versatility. It really is sort of a one-size-fits-all interface. If you don't need a complex studio with a ISDN or foam patch and you want to keep it simple, this thing will work with an iOS iPad, or it'll work with a Windows or a Mac desktop computer.
Do you have to have that dongle that'll translate from USB to the 30-pin connector for the iPad?
No, I believe, actually, no, and I have to verify that. I'm not 100%, 10% sure. I think it has a 30-pin it has a proprietary connector on the back that's specifically for use with the iPad. And so it's 30-pin on one end, and then it's got a little connector that goes into the back of the unit.
19-pin or whatever it is. Yeah, okay. Oh, that's way cool.
Yeah. Now, of course, everybody's got to re-engineer now for the new 8-pin connector, so I'm sure everybody is scrambling.
Yep,
to do that. And I think the next iPads will have it.
Microphones is going through that. They're probably changing their Mikey to fit the new iPhone 5.
They spent, months and if not years developing, and now, Apple,
that's what they do.
That's what they do, man.
That's
love
what they
it
do.
Or hate it. That's what they do, and it seems to work for the bottom line.
Yeah.
They seem to
they're making money on it.
Okay. I think the next iPad is probably coming out in the next week or two. It's probably going to be called the Mini. And I might grab that. I like having a small iPad.
7-inch.
Yeah, I don't have a real need for an iPad, but I'd like to get one for general use that my wife and I can share. And if it has that 8-pin connector, though, I'm going to be waiting it out until there's something I can plug into it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But anyway, the iTrack, it might be the thing to get. It's a little on the bulky side. It's not – why MicPort Pro or Bob Heil doesn't have one that plugs in an iPhone – I'm not sure why, but eventually they need something this big with an internal lithium battery that will run the thing all day. And I think it's imminent that someone's going to come out.
What's the matter with these people? Why can't they figure this out?
I bet MicPort Pro is going to be the one. I think they've probably been
testing it
for a very long time. And
This is what I said before. I think there is a legitimate market for voiceover people equipment.
Yeah.
I don't know why they keep ignoring it.
I have been working on plans for a voiceover specific mixer, audio mixer for a home studio for a long time. At this point, you know, it's really a matter of creating a, maybe I'll do a Kickstarter campaign. I don't know. But you need to have a considerable upfront, you know, amount of money to get a manufacturer to do a short run of a product like that, you know, 50 units. I have some great ideas. I've bounced off some of the best in the business, including Mike Summer, who's passed away, you know, last year. But he would put his two cents in too. I've got an amazing amount of notes on what this thing should be. So it will happen. Mark my words. Some one of these days I will have the ultimate voiceover mixing board. But
it'll happen. Yep.
But anyway, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. This has been a lot of fun.
Oh, it's been great.
Sure. Really had
a blast. Thanks for asking, and I know I'm a sad replacement for Dan Leonard. The poor guy's got a cold and just had to go to a funeral and then to FAFCON and now on his way back to Buffalo.
Sad replacement. If you would have just grown the mustache like I told you,
should have donned a fake theatrical mustache or something. It would have been great.
No, it's
really an honor. You guys have built something really cool here, and you keep doing it every week, which is what you got to be, is consistent. And you and Dan have really taken it to the numbers, and it's been great.
And we have to thank our wives. We have to thank our wives. I mean, they let us do this on a Sunday. It's a big chunk out of the time, out of our family time. And we thank our wives and families for letting us keep doing this show. And we love you. We love you guys so much. So anyway, thank you very much, Dave.
Sure,
this
George,
is,
anytime.
George Whittem at the beach.
And Dave in the desert.
We are.
East West Audio Body Shop.
Doing that together is that took
that's
like
a tough
four,
one.
That took four episodes to get that right. So thanks everybody. You have a great night. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good one. See you next time.
Bye bye.